All right, so we've strayed away from the conversation. On top of obviously Nexa coming in, Taz doesn't join directly at this point, but he joins not long after for the world final, which is his first coaching bit. The knowledge that we were told is that Taz was not like the coach you wanted to choose first of all. Was not like your first pick. Was there someone else you had in mind? Can you say who that is?
It was Bobo from Flames. Because
bring it back together.
Yeah, but it's not because that I thought, you know, he's going to come in and like, you know, have the key to everything. But first of all, I knew like this guy I know how to work with, and he we will work from day one. And secondly, I think that he's one of the best guys I've worked with when it comes to, you know, making sure there's productiveness and making sure that everyone is on the same page. And I think that was just the things we needed the most. As I said, like, that was always like, it was never a problem with like tactical stuff or a problem with, you know, individual prowess or anything. It was just about mental all the time. And I think that he could have kept like a steady level mentally for the team and put us in the right spot and given me as well some stability in a way that I needed. And that's why I suggested him and I wanted him. But obviously nothing against Taz. I didn't know the guy at all. I had the one interview with him that went on for like 30 minutes or something. What can you do on a 30-minute interview? Like, nothing. If you don't know the guy at all, like, everyone puts on their best face and you say the right things, and that's it. Like, everyone knows how it works. So,
did he wear a suit for the interview?
No, he probably had his white t-shirt on or some bullshit like this. I think you can only make Taz put a suit on if it's his own winning or if it's
all the awards.
If he needs to go be a bodyguard for Mondesi at the awards.
Yeah. Oh dear. Okay, so was that a bit of upset from you when you didn't get the coach you wanted? Was there an internal struggle at that point?
A little bit. I thought it was weird to tell me that I had a lot to say, but that it felt like I didn't have anything to say. But in the end, it's, you know, like, they get all the flag for if it's the wrong decision, and they also, it's their job as staff to make the decision. So obviously I don't have the last say, and I get it, like, why they went with him, because I think they are also thinking about like what's just best for the organization and for the future of the team, and he seemed like the best candidate, so maybe
I disagree with some parts of that where you said like they obviously make the decision of what they think is best for the organization, because none of them, no matter how involved they are with the team, has the same insight as you and the players of what's needed.
No, of course not. But I think it's also dangerous to just always give the players what they want, because sometimes they don't know what's best for themselves. And I think that's a fine, tough balance to.
It's a hard one.
Yeah, it's but tough.
Do you think then, like, with what was said afterwards, right? Alban, the CEO, went on the HLCV confirmed, and he said like Taz was needed because he was more of like a mental, spiritual leader in that sense, right? Less of the tactical side because of the players you had who had all this experience. Would you agree with that?
But I think he did a great job of trying to like keep the spirit up and the mood up and all this. And it's not like. But I think the first few weeks we had Taz is the best work he did throughout the entire time with him. And I actually asked him a bunch of times, like throughout our time working together, why don't you go back to the way you did things in the first place? Because the first few weeks, obviously, he was trying to make sure the mood was really good and all this stuff. But that's just how he is as a person. He's just always
that's him naturally.
Yeah, that's just him. He's a great guy, but. In terms of like tactics and practice, he was like really harsh, like going after everyone as soon as they didn't follow what we talked about in theory. So like, for example, I remember we talked about, okay, if we go in a man disadvantage, let's not go for plays because it's rarely successful for us. Let's just do something together when we are 4v5. and let's see if we have more success with it. And we had a lot of success with it, and it was really good. But then it was like, for me mentally, it was like, it felt like we kind of check marked it, and we were like, okay, now we're good at this. And then we moved on to something else, and then we forgot about it again. Where I feel like something like this, you have to stay on it for months.
And again.
You have to go full Gambit Youngsters there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like,
don't forget about it.
And I think we forgot about stuff like this, and we forgot about working enough on the fundamentals, and maybe went too much into like details that didn't really matter too much. But again, how can I say what is right and wrong? Like, I'm one guy in a full team, and I might as well be wrong as anyone else. So, yeah.
But you did, even during this time and start of the year, it felt like your performances were really consistent. You were consistently like 56, 34th, consistently making the playoffs and making deep runs. Like it was just something small missing to kind of make you switch up. So the performances seemed consistent at least.
I think the biggest flaw in that team was just that the whole dynamic, as I talked about before, that we got Nexa in to do a job that didn't fit him. That would have been better for Justin to do, because like the qualities that Nexa has, he couldn't really use. And he was working really hard to make it work. Like, this guy played fucking DM, like, to a point where I was like, is your hand going to fall off, or will it stay on the mouse? Like, what's going
on? Too much.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. He did everything he could, but it would be the same as like hiring me to a star role in a way. Like, of course that would not fit, and of course I would not do good, because that's not like my qualities. So I think that was what was missing, and I think if the dynamics were a bit better, maybe we could have made it to finals or even won trophies. Because as you said, we always got, you know, two playoffs, always got like third, fourth, until even after the major. I think we did it actually for a bit.
Yeah,
so,
you did the whole year.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. But and I would also have liked to see what like I could have done after the break, honestly, with Melbs, because that guy is. Insane. Like, even now he is really sharp, but back then it was insane.
Yeah, follow up for him to Nico was crazy, right? It's like both of them being able to split roles and what they wanted to do was crazy.
Yeah.
So looking at that, I'm gonna touch a little bit on Copenhagen Major, because obviously it's the first major in CS2. I know Katowice was just 56, but we talked about your consistency already.
Mm-hmm.
But a Copenhagen Major, it looked like there is a potential for you guys to be the winners of that one.
Yes.
You come up against that crazy Na'Vi, right? If like Spirit get eliminated by FaZe in the beginning, in the quarters, you have that really weird situation, by the way, on stage where those assholes like made problems. Everything's delayed for crazy ages, and then you beat Mouse. That was that the wildest stage experience you've ever had? Like, that was for me so weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was all the flak coming down from you guys.
I think everything was handled so badly in that. Because we got told that some shit might happen. And we're just like, what the fuck is some shit supposed to mean? And then,
thanks for that. All these extra bodyguards just lining up everywhere.
Yeah, but when something, like if you get that kind of message and then something happens, you're a bit mentally prepared for like, okay, this is just some people who wants to like send a message. In a way. So I was not scared at all when it happened, but the mouse players didn't get a message about, they didn't get a warning about anything. So suddenly people are just charging the stage and they don't know anything.
So this is what's crazy, right? Because obviously it was a sponsor that G2 sadly took, which was obviously a bad decision. They ended that as soon as they could. It wasn't the smartest one. Monacy had just turned 18, if I'm right.
Yes.
I think that was it. Yeah. So they just rolled it out, and then a competitive sponsor to them, who's also just full of assholes, decided to make a moment, destroy the stage. So G2 were informed. G2 were on high alert and ready. I was even just ready by the side, like told to be in a position where, like, if something happens, we talk on. So afterwards, I went on stage and spoke about it. But I didn't know until later on that Mals didn't hear anything.
Mm, so the game stopped,
everything's paused. And it would have made sense to just tell both teams, right?
Yes.
Obviously, we don't understand the logistics behind it.
And I think it's crazy that they don't tell both teams. And I think it's crazy that we as players know something is about to go down, but the security is not like airtight. How is that possible? But I don't know. I just remember I got like into like some kind of a, you know, Big Brother stage, because like I felt so bad for Monesi because he was like uncomfortable as hell after this happened. And I thought to myself, like, bro, so don't worry.
Well.
You sit next to Nico, he will fucking punch the shit out of them. They come. Don't worry. So,
yeah, that was a wild situation. But does that Na'Vi very game unique. Haunt you at all a little bit?
What do you think?
Because it felt like redemption for the last major was coming your way. Like, even me, as the ultimate Na'Vi fanboy, was saying, okay, whoever wins this game wins the major, surely.
If you ever get...
And you were favored.
If you ever get Apex on this podcast, you can ask him, how good did it feel to win in front of your home crowd? And then you can translate that to how bad it felt to lose 13-11 last map. I don't know. It was so shit.
I mean, I've been booed by a home crowd, so...
Well, I've never tried that,
Fnatic.
But, yeah, remember, Fnatic versus NiP was a horrible situation because everyone loved NiP and they hated Fnatic. So what was the anti-Swede.
So we had no home crowd.
You're basically Heroic and NIP was Old Astralis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Yep. Yeah, yep. But of course, like that. It was also just like we lost to Na'Vi so many times, and I felt like every time we had them right there, but we just couldn't close it out for some reason. And there was always someone who just popped off against us. And I just felt this is the, like, if there's ever a time to beat them, it's now, and we will beat them now. And I just felt so confident. But then, I don't know what happened. We just, JL made this crazy deglaze and a bunch of bullshit happened. And, damn it.
Damn it. Making him relive all these painful moments.
It's actually crazy how much shit I've been through.
Bro, you've survived all this shit, is the main thing, right? You survived all this. You are strong as hell, and many other people would crack, fold, and retire, and you haven't done any of that, and you're still going. So, and actually, you've come out healthier. You've come out healthier and physically stronger.
That was
impressive.
That was a good break. That was a much needed break.
So I know this one's going to be probably the worst one. Dallas 2024. Because you go for your sister's wedding. Mm-hmm. Completely normal. It's to me, Dallas is not a big event. It's very small prize money as well. They've obviously agreed for you to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Stewie comes to stand in. There's no way in hell they're winning that event. Stewie can just about still play the game. He brings a good vibe and he's American. Everything's fine. I know Nico wanted to play with him. Honestly, he was enjoying just hearing Stewie's voice, I guess, you know, because it's entertainment. But then...
I feel like this event is a little bit of like a false premise as well, in some sense, because from what I heard as well is obviously that you, Hooks, even though you went to that wedding, you did a lot of work from not like at the event, but did a lot of prep work and helped them out with whatever you could.
Yeah,
I was, so that you were part of it.
I was basically head coach at home. For the practice, and then for the first few officials. Like, I think until the semifinal, I was doing as much of the prep for T-side as I could, as I normally would. And I just asked Nico, like, will it help you, or do you just want to do it on your own? And he said, it helps, and then why not? Yeah.
And that's crazy impressive that you were helping them, you were making sure they could do in the best position possible, you were being the best in-game leader without even being at the event. But do you think that was the end of it all when they won an event without you? Do you think that's what sealed your fate?
No, I hope not. If they're that stupid, then I think it's crazy. But I like, usually, like, I laugh at teams when they say, like, okay, if we don't do good this event, then we need to make a change. Okay, but
yeah.
how does it come down to one event? Like, you have to look at the 6 months you had. Like, is it something you can work on, or is it something that is unfixable? And, like, are you happy with where you are, or will a change help you? And that's basically it. It cannot be, okay, we went to Dallas and won randomly, let's fucking change a guy. Like, mm-hmm. to me, that there's no way that's how anyone thinks that is actually a professional. So, no, I don't think that at all. I think that it was, you know, first of all, they already thought about changing me for someone else a lot of times. I think that I was not working out as well with Tess as they hoped. Oh, yeah. And I think that, as I said, like, even though the summer break was really nice for me and, like, it helped me a lot, it was still not enough, and I didn't get to reflect and develop as a person in that small amount of time. So, yeah, I think in the end it was, like, a fair change, like, if they wanted something else. But I also think it would have been completely fair to keep me. It was, like, mm-hmm. not... both things could be right or could be wrong. And yeah, I definitely don't hope that they made the decision from me skipping that event and then going to London and playing without Mondesi. That would be crazy.
Yeah, that was also the London one. No one's ever going to hold that against you.
That was a wasted event.
So then to end out the thing on G2, do you think it was just... the thing of you not working out with Taz and that was it, the decision? Or, like, do you have another understanding of why they didn't want to continue?
I think me not working with Taz that well was a huge thing. I think that my mental state and, like, even just, like, my... I have some kind of persona in English that is not the same as, like, when I'm speaking in Danish. Like, I'm not as happy mm-hmm. of a guy, and I just don't... As I said, like, I think it's hard to be fun and sarcastic in English. Okay. And I think that some of the things I said, like, I, for example, it's not weird in Danish to say, like, okay, we're really shit at this, because you can say it in a way where, like, you know, everyone will say, like, yeah, haha, whatever. But in English, yeah, it sounds harsh, where I would say stuff like that a lot. And I think sometimes I got misunderstood. And yeah, I don't know. I think, as I said, I think I needed a break to reflect mm-hmm. on everything that I was scared of taking, because, you know, I always had this in the back of my mind that you cannot take a break. Like, if you take a break, you're out, basically.
Yeah, you've forgotten about, kind of thing.
Which also ended up being true.
So, not fully, luckily. Not fully.
So, yeah. But as I said, I totally understand where G2 was coming from with the change, and maybe I would have made the same decision if I was in their shoes. And
okay.
Yeah, I think overall, but it's not as tragic as people make it sound like.
Well, it's good you don't see it like that. And I guess I also want to ask, Manasi said, out of all the in-game leaders he's played with on his time with G2, right, that, like, you were the best one he had. You but on that work the hardest. Like, how does that make you feel?
Weird. because I think, like, I get where he's coming from. I think that also, like, I probably was the hardest working. I don't know if I was the best. Maybe with him, I was the best. But I also think he's lying, because I think Nico was a better idea than me. Honestly, I think the day Nico retires, or not retires, but retires from being a star player and becomes an IGL, he's instantly the best IGL in the world, which is crazy.
Really?
Yes. 100%.
Why did you say that?
He understands the game on a different level. It's completely crazy. Okay. The way he understands mid-round, and he's just so quick with it that...
But do you think it translates really well for him to go an IGL?
Yeah, I have no doubt that he will be IGL at some point. So, yeah, I think that he's also lying. I think the best IGL he played with in G2 was Nico and Dallas, but whatever.
hey, it was your game plan.
Yeah, well, still. And yeah, I have the feeling that, like, Monesi, for him, the environment is very important, which is like surprising to me because he's Russian and they're usually very harsh to each other. When
very toxic.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when, like if you hear VP comes.
Like, oh my God.
That's, it's
VP,
crazy.
Old Navi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cloud
yeah.
Nine. It's crazy.
So I maybe also like misread the whole Balkan Russian thing that I thought like I could be more harsh than I could. But I'm obviously happy that he thinks that and that he says that, because that's, as I said, like that's how your value as an IGL goes up. That's how people what they say about you after working with you. So
that's why you got the Astralis gig. Modesty's words.
maybe who knows? He should have said it a bit before then.
Damn it, Ilya! Why could you not speak up sooner? Why could you have not given me this public praise in advance? Oh, man. All right, so lastly then, is there any closing thoughts you want to have on this G2 moment before we touch on this brief Astralis moment?
Nah, that's not... I think we've been through most of it. The only thing I just, like, don't really regret it, but I'm just sad that it didn't happen, was, like, getting that freaking major for Nico would have been... the icing on the cake, and but I'm just happy that, you know, I broke some of the curses with him, and I don't know, super happy with what we achieved in the end. So overall, I think you can give a thumbs up for the time in general, but but the, we could have done more, which is like,
I mean, considering how turbulent it seemed to have been.
Yeah.
Throughout this entire journey,
yep.
It's pretty impressive that you came out with these results.
Yeah. Thank you.
You've been through a lot. You've learned a lot. You've grown in more ways than one, and you survived it all. I think that's the crazy thing with it all. So from here, Hooksy, you have a pretty long break, and just for you, I know the break we really spoke was important. It was something that was needed. But what did you go through on this journey other than gym that we spoke about earlier? Like, how was this time spent? Did you actually take a proper holiday? What was the Hooksy way of rejuvenating himself?
Well, I think the most proper holiday I took was going to Cyprus with a bunch of other gamer dudes and drinking my brain out for a week straight.
Hey, you need that. You need that.
And, yeah, especially that was like, I was there when I got told I was benched in G2. So you can imagine.
Shit, you just stayed longer?
Oh. You can imagine the night that I got told about that.
Dude. Hooksy's like, guys, I'm paying for everything. Bro.
Well, basically, I had that vacation. Then I knew, okay, it's the last bit of the play break, so I'll probably not get a team. And then I knew the only thing that could pop up like after the play break would be Astralis at some point. Mm-hmm. And then they went with Cadian. And after that, there was no real options until the next break.
Yep.
And that's where like I got completely screwed over in terms of like the whole VIS Valve ranking thing system, all that stuff.
Even the core of a team.
Like not being a part of a core and going into that player break is probably the worst thing that can happen to a player. Because you have to be like irreplaceable basically to get a team at that point. After that, I got really nervous, like, because then now I've already been out for 6 months, and it's like, okay, do people want to take a chance on like if I still know how to play the game? Like, I could might as well become worse at the game and worse at like calling and stuff. So that was obviously scary, and you know when I saw this opportunity came from Astralis to play just one tournament, I was just so happy, because that meant that I could control something again, that I was not just sitting there like waiting for some miracle to happen. So that time, obviously, like for the first 6 months, I was not worried at all. I spent it on working on myself, reflecting, starting in the gym, making a better routine for myself that would focus like more on keeping myself in shape in the game as well. And played as much as my mental could could handle in terms of face it, because holy fuck, face it is a challenge sometimes.
Oh, me and Devil, no, we're not playing at your level. We're playing a little bit lower down, and it's still tedious. Bruh,
it's tough sometimes. But I swear to God, like I get killed on face it in ways that Saibu couldn't do to me. Or Dunk. I don't know how they do it, but whatever. And then
how long did you have actually from like taking this rejuvenation journey or whatever you want to call it into, okay, we have an event, I'm going with Astralis. When did you start practicing? When did you start talking to each other? What happened like going into that event? Because if you look at the event itself and how you played and how you meshed together, it could have looked like you had played together for 6 months.
I can look at my calendar if you want, because it's not that long ago. So basically on the 23rd of April, we have the first practice day. Then they have some, then we have like 2 days in a row. Then they have some media obligations, and then we practice again Monday until Friday. And overall, it's like 2 weeks. Roughly from the first day we speak everyone together as a team until we have to take the flight to Astana, and it's 9 practice days. So, yeah.
That's not much. Like, that's a few practices per map, essentially.
Yeah.
So, how much could you change from their, like, approach? Because you could see some, like, actual differences to what they played with Cadian and what you played with you guys. I felt like one example I always felt was you were holding utility a lot more, playing the rounds a lot slower than they previously did.
Yeah, but it's obviously, as you know, like completely map dependent, because
yeah,
that's just obvious. But I think that on some maps, I tried to keep as much as I could from their old playbook, because we obviously were limited on time, and also it was working for them, ancient mostly. And on other maps, like for example Nuke, they actually already had some of my stuff because they stole it, so that was nice. I could also just like mesh things together a bit, and it was fine. And then on a lot of maps, I would just completely change everything. And also a map like Train, for example, I've never played officially, which people maybe forget, but it was literally my first time playing Train, practicing Train. So that was also a bit weird. So yeah, I think some things was general that had to be changed, like for example the way Cadian plays versus the way I play. Like Cadian is like an AWPer by heart, and he's like not a space taking IGL, where I'm like, I want to go first, I want to be in the center of everything, and I don't want to be like a lurker at any point unless I really have to. Where like, let's just say on Mirage, for example, like he would send the team to execute on A and he would be B apps. That's not something I can ever see myself call. So stuff like that I had to change. And then on Dust2, for example, I think they just kind of gave up on Dust2, to be honest. Because like, I was watching, I think, 5 T sides, and then I came to practice the next day and I asked the guys, like, who's playing where? Like, who's playing where in default? Because I don't know who's playing outside long. Because they never did default on a map like Dust2, which I feel like is weird. But that's a behavior you have as a team if you just don't feel good on the map and you don't feel like everything is working.
Yeah,
then you just
gamble with the extra map.
You just go gamble and full set strat. So I get where they're coming from, but but I wanted to give it a shot, like playing more normal. But there's a bunch of things, like there's a million things that we changed in 9 days. It's actually crazy how much time we, or how well we spent the time, I think.
Yeah. And how was it to be back with Yabby? Like, that's gonna be some good memories coming back together.
It's funny because like in some ways he changed. Because obviously like when I played with him, he was still he still is a young guy. So you're changing through those years, right? And but at the same time he's still the same annoying little kid that I played with. So this team is super troll, just in general.
Really?
Yeah, we have a lot of fun and like people are constantly rage baiting each other and it's a lot of fun in general. Also, Device is also a Tottenham fan or Spurs fan.
Oh, Device, good guy.
Nope. But
nope.
So yeah,
for some he's a good guy.
For some, but you know, I think we clicked instantly, like in terms of having fun and making it work throughout the practice day and all this, and then
you could go back to that Danish humor yourself.
Yes, that was so nice. Like that was the easiest thing in the world. Like going into this team, it was like, you know, it was like I've been there before, kind of.
Oh, that's nice. That's so important.
Yeah. So that's probably also why it looked like, you know, it hasn't only been 9 days.
Yeah. How did they come to you, by the way, at the initial part? Like, how was this the approach in? Was it just like, one event, come hang out and try this out? Or like, was it more serious, sit down?
No, it was basically just like, they contacted me and they said...
Who contacted you first? Was it a player first or...?
I can't even remember, honestly. I think a player was just like, what are you even up to right now? Like, can you actually like... What's going on? Like, do you have a fucking job?
Can you shoot?
Did you give up on CS? What's going on? And then I was like, no, I'm good. I just want to get back ASAP. And then I think I just asked, I just talked to somebody from Astralis and they just said, well, we're looking for a stand-in for this event. And do you want to try? And remember to apply for visa for US if we are lucky for the major and stuff like this. And yeah, it was very simple, honestly.
Oh, so if they made the major, there was still a chance you would go?
If they got a wildcard for the major, I would go with them, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow, that would have been crazy.
That would have been fun.
yeah, one Hail Mary for the major. Yep. Hooksy and Astralis.
Yep.
Now, obviously, expectations, I can imagine, were kind of up in the air.
This was a good pressure moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is exactly what I'm talking about, good pressure.
Yep.
But like, well, I remember when we did the first interview, you were so chill. You were so relaxed. We did the sit down one.
My shirt was fucking. Why didn't you say anything? My shirt was looking so shit in that chair.
Well, I'm not looking at your shirt. I was just too busy looking at your muscles. I was like, damn, look at him going to gym.
Shut up. I don't know. It was just another media day, and I come to a tournament with no pressure at all. Like, we could bum out, lose two games, and go home, and nobody would bat an eye. So, why wouldn't I be relaxed?
But did you expect to be able to get your players so in form? Because, like, Staun looked like the Staun we've been missing for a long time. And how much credit can you take for that? Is it just the way you set him up? Is that how you got things going? Because I feel like this wasn't just an overperformance. This was getting to see the players do what we've expected them to do. Because prior to you, it was a bit of Stare and Yabby, sometimes Device. Staun was not up to his normal level. I think he'll happily admit that as well. And it was like there was problems. And obviously, Cadian was forced into not being an AWPer anymore, and it was kind of awkward. But then you come along. Whatever changes you were managed to make that you were just talking about is like we saw them potential be maximized.
I don't know how much credit I can take. I think that some of the credit goes to the way I play compared to how they played before, and some of it goes to, you know, just making a change in general will give you some belief and some a breath of fresh air, and I think that also just helps. And I can say that just from the first few practices, like, I was actually happily surprised of like the individual level. I thought it would be worse, mm-hmm. and I thought that was like the main reason why they were struggling. But I don't think necessarily it is. I think that could become like that. It will take a lot of hard work to get to the same level as like, you know, Vitality, Falcons, Spirit, those kind of teams, Mouse. But for the rest of like, you know, I think Astralis would happily take a top 5 placement right now in the world. You know, I think for that, that is totally realistic with how everything is right now. So, when it comes to the credit for Staun, I don't know how much I like a lot of the credit goes to him for also playing well. And I think he can do even better.
Definitely. And look at this run you guys had, right? Admittedly, the first game we played against Oddic, I guess we could be a little bit worried because the Ancient was previously looking pretty good and you somehow let that Ancient slip away. But it is the first game back in an official. Yep. After that game, how did you guys feel? Like, a win's a win, but was it still like, ah?
I was just happy to get the first game out of the way because I usually am not really that nervous, but for some weird reason, I just felt like I had the biggest jitters like for the first map.
Really?
Yeah, I was just sitting there like full pumped up. I don't know why. And when it comes to the Ancient, like I said before, when we were practicing and we were talking about how we wanted to play, I said like, so you guys just play around always all getting middle. And they said, yeah. And then I said, what's the plan if we can't get middle? And they said, but we always do. And I said, okay, fine.
Did you get middle?
Let's try. Well, we lost 13-2. What do you think? But then I said, fine, let's just do that. Because obviously we were on a limited amount of time. So, you know, had to skip somewhere. It went to shit. And then we talked about it. And we were like, okay, if we just do this and that the next time, it will work out. And we were like, okay, fine. And we try that. And then we went on to the next game, but I was just really happy that we won.
But it seems also like when you're going through this journey of this tournament that it's almost like you're going through theory as well. Like you're consistently improving game by game and adding things and rules and structure.
Yeah, that's how it is.
But more so than like a team that would be together, right?
Well, there's a lot to fix, right? With so few days. And I think just in general, when you get a team where the confidence is low and where, like, we haven't had a lot of time together, the confidence is building every time you win. And at the same time, like, every mistake you make, you can get something out of. And people are hungry to do it as well. And, I think that's just a natural thing that you look better game by game in that scenario.
And then looking at that, right, you beat Pain, but they have their coach standing in, so you're definitely expected to win that.
Yeah.
You lose to Spirit, and it wasn't pretty, but it is Spirit after all. You beat VP.
If you go and watch that Dust 2, I am 100% sure that if you give us another shot at that T-side, we close it out, 13 to, 8, 9 or something.
Why do you say that?
Bro, we have a pistol round where we're like 5v3 and we run down and chase a guy who's in CT buy zone and then they defuse. Then we have another 2v1 after plant on B that is unlosable that we somehow managed to lose. Then we have another round where we're like, I think we are 2v2 and we have like A side plant or something. I can't remember exactly. But we have like 3 rounds against a team like Spirit on Dust 2 where we can close it out. And like, it's the best Dust 2 team in the world. Against the worst, I would argue. So the
worst.
I was so happy about like after that first map, I said to the guys like, if we can play like this on Dust 2, like we will smash them. And then we go on Ancient, and then we do the exact same we did against Nordic. And it was after this game that I said enough is enough. Like now, we cannot not play around this anymore. We can play ancient, but we cannot do this middle thing anymore. Like it's not working for us. Maybe it worked before, but it's not the same. And I just want to like try something else. And then we tried something else, and that was it. It just felt way better.
You tried something else against VP, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that went three maps. You win it overtime on Dust 2. Then you lose your Inferno. Obviously, you're still going through what you can do here. How good did it feel to get the win on Ancient for that, though? Did that show that, like, okay, hey, look, guys, my way's working?
No, it was not so. I didn't put any thought into that. It was more about, like, getting to playoffs. That felt really good.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Like, because I really, like, I haven't been on the stage forever. Like, I wanted to get back.
Yeah, I told you how many days it was when we did the interview. I was like, it's been this many days. It's a crazy amount.
Yeah. So I was just super happy to be going, like, further in the tournament and, yeah, to get to that spot.
Well, we already spoke about the Chinese fans loving you. Never did I expect to have the Kazakhstan crowd also loving you. Have you got a Kazakhstan social media profile somewhere, Hooks, I don't know about?
No, I have no clue what happened.
Bro, he's milking country fans somehow. Just like he's hit the social media jackpot, because I tried to do the interview and I just stopped because all I heard was Hooksy, Hooksy, Hooksy. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like Hooksy's the fan favorite.
Yeah, it was insane. Also because like,
it didn't matter what team you were playing. You're playing like home, what's supposed to be, you know, like the home teams, and they're cheering you.
Yeah, I was so surprised. Like, I was just like thinking, is it some kind of weird mix of like Russian fans liking me because of Monacy and Chinese fans loving me, and then they just like meet in the middle, and that's somehow Kazakhstan? Or what's going on? I have no clue what's going on. But
geopolitics.
I have no clue. But I was just super happy about it. It was
special.
So cool. Yeah, it was so cool.
And you beat Na'Vi, like
finally.
Na'Vi's a team you struggled against on G2.
Yes.
And you get it with this team on a stage in, like what you just said, a crowd that should be maybe more on their side given the region.
Struggled is not the right word. We. I don't know. They were unbeatable for us. It was some curse. I don't know how.
So we were bullied.
Yeah. It was always like the same story of like a close game, and then we somehow just managed to lose to some crazy shit. But
yeah.
But yeah, that felt extra good, obviously. I also, when I shook Alexis' hand, I said, finally, I got you. So happy.
No.
He's a cool guy. He just smiled back, and I think he would probably rather lose there than in Copenhagen. So I think he's fine.
What was the harder game for you, by the way, between Na'Vi and Aurora? Because Aurora Mirage, I felt like you could have won that Mirage game.
Yeah,
and then obviously I wouldn't say dominate on Nuke, but you had a comfortable CT side. Like their T side didn't get going, and then Train looked almost too easy. But it seemed at moments like Aurora might have been able to take some more control away from you.
Yeah, I think, you know, how Na'Vi was a tough team for us in G2, I think that there's just this thing for all teams. And Aurora is a team that my players apparently just like to play against. They feel comfortable against them, and they were just confident going into that. So I feel like Na'Vi was the toughest one, both for me personally, but also for the team. So like when we beat Na'Vi and we're already like riding on a high, and then we go into Aurora, I felt like that's like we got this for sure if we just play up to our level. So but then when you throw Mirage like we did, like I obviously got a bit worried.
That's what I was thinking, because it's like for me it was a Mirage, which obviously Aurora love, and look at like their aimers. And you basically had it. And then when it crumbled, I was just a little bit nervous that, wait a second, can it slip at this point? So that's why I asked if it could have been harder. But you were still that confident?
It was just like, it was the same scenario as against Spirit on Dust 2. Like, I was like, okay, we might have thrown this away and it was fucking bullshit, but we can't obviously change it now. So let's just focus on the fact that we should have won on freaking Mirage against these guys. And now we're playing Nuke and Train. Like, it's fucking Christmas Eve. Let's go. Pretty confident.
And then we come into the grand finals. The grand finals versus Spirit. Now it did start quite badly. admittedly.
You can say that.
Again, on Dust 2. You told me just a little bit earlier, Hooksy, as well. You could have won better on Dust 2 if you played that again. Mm-hmm. Well, you did play it again, and it got worse.
Mm-hmm. I have no clue. I have no clue how, like, for me, okay, it was a special game in a lot of ways because we already played the map against them once in the tournament. So that's like some mind games.
And you lost, so you should have been better, no? This we've been telling us all podcast long.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like, they kept doing the exact same shit on their T side. Uh-huh. And
that's what Spirit do.
I don't even know what happened. Like, I was just standing on long and I felt useless the whole game. They never came long. And I was like, okay, surely fucking Spirit is not scared of me, right? Like, they're not making a game plan to avoid me, right?
That's like, dog's like, no, it's Hooksy. Stay away from Hooksy. The Giga Chat will
don't
get
Don't get away.
No, but I was watching the vlog, like, at some point in the tournament, and they said, like, holy shit, Hooksy, he just one-shotted me when I ran catwalk. And I was like, yeah, bro. So maybe they got scared, I don't know. But literally, like, now it's just one tournament and I was standing, so like, why would I look back at it? Because it's the final, like, it's the final game. I cannot get anything out of thinking about that CT side again, but that we lost 11-1. But if I had to go back and look at it and like it was on the team and I had to change like stuff, I think I would be mind blown, like, how we lost, because they did the exact same things all over again and somehow we just get completely smashed. I have no clue how. Obviously, like, it's Dunk and, you know, shit can happen when you play this guy because he's just running you down. But yeah, I don't know.
We can skip Nuke as well, but I want to talk about Mirage because...
Oh, do you really want to skip Nuke? Because we should have fucking won that.
Yeah, but you should have won Nuke. That's why I didn't want to make you any more pain. I was going to go on to the positives.
Oh, I thought that was the whole theme of the thing to make me feel pain.
I'm trying to bring some positives because this event should
we
be
have
positive.
A document here. Top May Cooksy feel pain.
Lost 1v3, lost 1v2.
Okay, so you've done this yourself now. If you want to talk about Nuke, we can talk about Nuke.
I just
should have had it.
I just wanted to mention that 10-10. We were the better team tactically, 100%. We played so much better, but when it came down to clutch situations and X on X, we played like a bunch of noobs. And that's why we lost. There's nothing much to say besides that. Because we should have won. We had them exactly where we wanted them, but unlucky.
But this is like, as a viewer, you know, you obviously, as a viewer, you go into this game and you think, okay, it's Astralis, they're going to get fucking smashed by Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The first map happens, that's how it ends up. And then you go into Nuke and you start to actually believe in you guys. You must have felt that kind of wave as well, where like, okay, we're actually pushing these guys. They're actually not, you know, just running us over.
Well, I believe that from before we even played. Because as I said, like, the first game we played against them, we almost, like, in my head, we should have won those two. And then I came into the final. I was obviously preparing before the day before. And just like watching how they play, and I felt super confident in our game plan and like what we could do. And I didn't need anything special to happen in the game to feel confident against them. Honestly, I really thought we would win. So yeah, I believed the whole way.
But this Mirage, this was special because this is where Donk's supposed to be able to do all the dirty work. He's supposed to be able to come through on top. They even won a couple of clutches against you guys, but you still won 13-5.
Mm-hmm. And they have two clutches.
Yeah. This was impressive. And this was the Stalin that I wanted to see for a long time.
Yeah, that's like, we got a really good CT side, considering we lost the pistol. And then, you know, MR12 happens. And if you get a decent first half and you win the pistol, then the opponent is left with no choice but to just keep forcing and making like bad buys, because that's how the game works right now. So I think that was just perfect for us. That was not really much to say. I think it was also, like, looking back, really really nice for us that we got to play like a 13-11 game the day before, so we had something to go off of and to learn from.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall I'm just super happy about that one, because obviously, like, I think everyone went into this game thinking, okay, they have no chance on Dust2 and Mirage, but if they win Nuke and Train, maybe they can do something. So when we lost Nuke, like, everyone was kind of out of it, but then we got one back.
And if you guys thought that, or you think that you should have won Dust2 in this grand final, move into Train, what did you think about this one?
Oh, 11-9 up, and it's a map they've been struggling on. You had
an 8-3 or 7-2 start on the T side.
Yeah, well, the point it all starts to collapse is actually 10-5. Because we are up. We win 8-4, and then
they won both pistols.
We lose the pistol, but we win the second round. And then that's where we should close Train out. Like, if you win the second round on your CT Train, that's the best chance you will get. And then we throw a round where they go inner, and from that point onwards they just obviously like snowball completely. And I think it's even a miracle that we get it into OT somehow. But but I think it's like they are obviously struggling on this map. They showed that many of times now against NIP and us and whoever.
Fury they lost against.
Yeah, Fury as well. And I think that if I had a bit more experience on the map as well, like obviously I practiced it maybe 4 or 5 times and then played it for the first time here in the final, then I would also have played like my CT side better, because I had a very bad game individually in this map. And I could probably have helped a bit more in terms of like how to, you know, crack the code on CT. But it's tough when you play it for one of the first times. So, you know, it sucks. I would have liked to see what happened if we played Ancient again. But at the same time, I think like now that it's a bit, you know, we had some a few weeks, I guess, to reflect. Yeah. It's, you know, it's fair that they won. They should win every day of the week. So could be happy with the second place a little bit, even though I still like, I'm just curious about the last map, what would have happened basically.
Yeah.
We wanted to see it.
I was definitely rooting for you guys. I wanted a fifth map. And 100%.
I think, and
even like, you know, coming second place, you have to kind of distance it from, you know, obviously for the people that didn't watch or they haven't followed, this is not Astralis that pretty much nobody believed in from the start of the event. They were very low on the radar, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to a grand final, that must have, like, it's kind of like the perfect return of Hooksy in a way. Not exactly perfect, but, you know.
Close to it.
Close to it.
Yeah. I was just happy that I could put on, like, a good individual showing enough for people to see that I actually put in some work. And you know,
at 4K on Dust2, that was
everywhere. That was sick.
The smoke.
I was like, you know, I haven't honestly played that much Dust2 either, even though I've been on G2, like, because for a long time Dust2 was not in the map pool. I actually haven't played Dust2 much, but I've seen people do this trick enough times going into the smoke on an execute to know that it works every time. So
yeah, I was like, that ruined them.
Were you surprised that you got like that third kill through the smoke?
I didn't realize it until like after the round, basically. I was like, I got 4K.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I did my job. And dude, like, first event back, you have limited practice. You have all these things going against you. Obviously, you've not played in so long, and you do it with a team that's been massively struggling. To get second place, what was the reaction like just from the Astralis management, the players themselves who have been struggling? Because for you, right, it's one thing. But for them, I think they needed this so much.
Yeah. Well, for as far as management, I haven't heard much, honestly.
Of course, they're fucking things up.
We have a WhatsApp group where there was some messages, but besides that, not much. And then from the players, like, we're obviously just happy, you know, to make it there. But at the same time, we were just disappointed because, it, you know, it was right there. Like, we were so close and we felt like we were the better team. And, you know, if it wasn't for fucking Dunk smashing us, then obviously we could have done more. But nah, I think it was like a weird state of like being disappointed, but also, you know, it was kind of good. So yeah. How do you feel?
I think you should feel proud of it. I think, definitely. Especially, you know, the longer time goes on, you actually like mount up your time versus other people's time. You go into this tournament, you've done exceedingly well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I also noticed, like watching you guys play, you guys were pretty much smiling, joking every single round.
But that's what I'm saying. They're a bunch of trolls. It's crazy how much they're trolling. So yeah, it's hard not to. But I think that's also just something that I learned from my time in G2 compared to now, that when I was playing in Flames, we were always playing official. We played official as practice, right? So you kind of had to always develop even in officials. So I had this mindset of like, we have to fix mistakes in officials. And then when I came to G2, I had the same mindset that it was hard to get out of. But now that I've like had more time to reflect and think about it, it's just like, it doesn't help anything. Like, no matter how shitty of a situation you're in or how shitty of a mistake you make, you just need to move on. And then you can talk about it after. You can change something after, and like, you need to have like other backup plans than to try and fix plan A. So I think that's like a huge thing, and also why we looked happy all the time, because it's like you just have to move on.
Yeah,
there was a funny moment where I saw you coming back on the stage in between one of the maps, and like Yabby's in front of you and you two are joking around, and you like basically almost push him up the stairs, and I'm like, what the hell are these guys doing before we go? I'm like, if Heroic's luck, someone would fall over and break an arm, but it's you know, in the old days. But like, it just did look like you guys were enjoying being back together, trolling each other, having fun. And that's obviously such an important factor of CS that sometimes can be missing. Lastly, actually, I want to ask you how it was with Rugger. Like, how was it working with him? What's he like as a coach for you?
I think it was good for like the small amount of time. I honestly didn't know what to expect, because, you know, he's had his time in OG and it was like, you know, I don't know if it was like, it was like meh. It was like not bad, not good. It was just like in between. And then obviously they haven't succeeded much in Astralis. So I didn't know like really if I had any huge expectations, but I think he's doing a very good job at like fixing mistakes when we practice like live. It's not that we just sit like play four practice and then he says something at the end of the day, takes pauses and like fixes things in the middle of the game, which I like. And then his prep work was totally fine. We had some good CT sites and some good rounds, some good gimmicks here and there. So and I think he's very good at like handling a group, which I think is a huge thing for a coach to understand, like when to be harsh and when to be like a bit nicer to people. And I don't think this is an easy group to control either. So.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, so I think of what he's doing a good job.
And so say this, right? At the moment, as far as I understand it, Astralis haven't offered you anything. There's nothing else going.
No, nothing.
So what's this communication like? You're just waiting, hoping? I know like there's rumors about the organization. I'm not going to ask you about that. You don't know anything about that. It's what's public, right? But it's more like, where are you sat right now? What's Hooksy doing?
I think that Astralis is in a place right now, as you know, with all the rumors and stuff, where like, I don't know, like things are a bit in a limbo in a way. Like, we don't really know what's going on, and I'm not sure if they know either. And as an organization, and a team for them, they don't have anything to do for the next 5 weeks. They have like, they are not going to the major, and then there's a player break. So nobody's really in a rush either. If something was to like happen with the like me signing with them or anything, like there's no rush anyway. So and I think that if I would have to consider a lot of other things, it would also be after the major. So I'm just back to the grind that I was doing before, playing DM.
Mental preparation and face it.
Yep. Mental gymnastics and, you know, playing face it here and there. Just happy that now I go back and I know that what I'm doing is actually working, which I didn't have like confirmation of before. So I don't know what the future looks like, but it certainly got a bit brighter after this one.
You're on a bit of a win streak on Old Face It right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, five, 6, 7.
Bro,
look at
my ADR. If you remove the name, you didn't know if it was Donga Hooksy, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's 125, 126, 110, 106, 121, 124. This guy's back fully. Just grinding out Elo.
Yeah.
Do you play with some friends or just solo?
No, I play with my friends all the time.
By the way, you're the only verified profile. Tell these guys to get verified, otherwise they're gonna get done for smurfing. Oh, you're playing with TML in there.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, man.
Danish stacks. They're the worst on Facebook.
No, yeah. Finnish stacks right now. If I see a Finnish stack,
really?
I'm GG.
Yes, I agree.
I might full GG.
I can't remember the last time I won against full Finlando. So,
when it's full Finnish team, I may as well just not play the game. I may as well just dodge.
We discuss it every time as well. Should we just leave?
Bro, they're the worst stream snipers as well. Like, they've even come in my chat while I'm playing and been like, oh, no, it's you, Banks. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
I'm
to have you here with me.
I'm too scared to stream.
I would love a Hooksy stream. I would love a Hooksy stream.
Nah.
Stream only on Chinese social medias.
Yeah. He'd be top dog then. But
maybe.
Okay, let's ask you this. You're obviously waiting to see what happens. If Astralis offered you today and said you want to do it and all the players agreed, would you say yes?
Probably, yeah. Like, I like the guys and I think that there's way more potential, so I don't see why not. But at the same time, like, I don't know what else could come up, and until it's like a reality, I don't even want to put too much thought into it, because you know, I've done that before and you just end up feeling disappointed, so.
Has there been other offers, though? Has there been other orgs that already reached out or said potential? Or they're not sure
like,
yet?
Like, since Astana, no, there hasn't been, like, anything crazy yet. But I think that's just normal with the Dallas and the Major coming up. So, we will...
I think you've at least put yourself in a lot better situation than last time you had a break.
Yeah. Like, it's also very weird to, like... It would be weird if there was like an offer on the table, but I will say that like some people wanted to talk to me all of a sudden.
Yeah. There we go. Friends have reached out. Oh, Hooksy, you're here again.
So yeah, maybe. But like, I'm sure
on Steam.
I'm sure I will be back to playing after the break. So at least what I hope for.
I will be very happy to see you again. Interview you more time. And you'll be back to all those duties again.
We have nothing to talk about after this. We have talked for 4 hours.
Hey, when you join a new team, I'm going to have more questions. Just going to say it that way.
Christ.
Back again.
I might as well just join Astralis then.
Yeah, if you join Astralis, you can actually avoid me. You can actually avoid me then. Hooksy, first of all, thank you so much for giving us the most incredible episode of the podcast so far. We're only on episode 13 and you smashed all my expectations. He said he was going to yap. I did not expect this yapping. My wife,
we did two in
food.
One episode.
Yeah,
we actually got two episodes in one. My wife finished making food an hour ago and she's going to be like, where the hell are you? So luckily she understands. But I want to give you just the opportunity, because I'll tell you this, on our Discord, you've had the most questions of anyone else. Like,
sick.
more questions than what came from Manasi, and loads of people have been giving you so much love. So we will do that in a sec. But just, is there anything you want to say to all the fans out there, people that love you and the people that want to see you return? Even the haters.
Well, the haters are not getting any attention. But no, I don't know. I can't find like new ways of saying the same thing, because I'm so amazed by all the support that I'm getting, especially right now. And, you know, the fact that I can get a full stadium in Kazakh to yell my name is completely nuts. So I don't know what to say besides I'm super grateful, and I hope it will continue.
I'm sure it will. I believe in it. That's for sure. Now, the last part is just to take some of the questions that our Discord has given you. And I'll just say, we were having to scroll for so long on these questions and obviously filter some of the questions. So like, I'm going to read you some of the questions. I'm going to read some of like the nice bits. One guy said, "Hello, Mr. Gigachad Hooksy. Love you, man. Peepo happy, peepo happy."
All right.
The amount of people that come in here and like, they are saying,
I even got
love
a DM.
You, Gigachad.
I think that's a guy from your community, I'm sure.
Oh, hell
Hooksy,
yeah.
I love you, Pookie. Hope to see you in tier one. We need an alpha Gigachad meal. All right.
See?
There you
I
go.
Love this. Yep. This is it. You can't escape it, bro.
No, it's all good.
All right. So the first question comes from a guy called Lancer. And he said, in the last interview, Manasi said that out of the last three IGLs he played with, Hooksy, Alexi, and Snacks, he thinks you're the best. And he's never seen anyone work as hard as you. How did it feel? Oh, we've kind of asked that. We've asked
that question. Yeah, we've answered that in the actual podcast.
Already in the episode.
Yeah, go back like 1.5 hours or something.
There's something in between these 4 hours.
Good luck.
You'll find it if you listen to the whole podcast, Lancer. All right, I need to vet some of these questions because we spoke about so much.
yeah, good luck finding something we didn't talk about.
Didn't talk about,
That's the problem.
A guy called Change It said, as there was some overwhelming and negative news surrounding Astralis before Astana, how did you change the mood / vibes within the team to a positive outlook? I guess we didn't really answer that.
Like, what does he actually mean by negative vibes? Like, in terms of like the whole...
There was just negative news about them, public perception. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, public perception probably more.
So how did you make it
struggling?
Like
a... But I didn't know. I don't know. I didn't do anything. I just came in and all of a sudden... The people are going crazy. I don't know.
Himself.
That's what surprised me so much as well, because I knew, like, you know, there's this whole thing with like the old heroic always being booed, and the whole stubby thing is blowing up again now that KDN is out. And I really thought like everyone would just, you know, boo us out of the stadium and stuff like this. But I'm happily, positively surprised, I guess. But I didn't really do anything at all. I just. Yeah.
You're just the son of Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm just me.
Hey, that's a good answer. Yeah, well, you answer this next one. I'll highlight it for you.
Where are you? Here. Trackball. That's the one?
No, the one above.
What the hell? You're highlighting different things here in the document. Okay, from Jackson. How was it playing with the GOAT device?
Oh, that was nice. Finally, to get a chance to play with him. I don't know, I knew him a little bit from playing a little bit of Faceit with him and talking to him, but I didn't know he was like on this level of being a troll. He's like next level troll. you know, I've always seen him like a professional, like he's this kind of Tom Cruise kind of guy that is like, yeah, just always serious and stuff, but that's definitely not the case. And no, but he's obviously a next level talent. I think he could stop playing for 2 years, come back and do the exact same thing. It's just in his veins to play CS, I think. And I don't know. He's like very professional, obviously, and he has a lot of experience, but he's not, you know, a kind of guy who just walks into a room and thinks he owns the whole thing. Yeah, just a good guy in general. And in case I get to play with him again, I don't want to praise him too much.
Don't flee his ego.
Before you have to scold him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
But you said that. Nah.
No, no, no. All right, Trackball next said, what are the things you didn't have time to implement or couldn't, but could have made your results at G2 better? Interesting.
Oh, in G2? I thought he would ask mm-hmm. Astralis. Well, I had all the time in the world in G2, so it's not like I didn't have time to do things, but it's more like reflecting and looking back, like what should have been done differently. Mm-hmm. I think we already talked about a lot of it, but I think if I could go back and know what I know about CS2 now, I would probably have added some more structure when the game switched. Because I think we had a really good idea of how to play CSGO, but I think CS2, we never really found the right way to play. Yeah, then I would probably have prioritized a bit differently in terms of like myself versus the team and how much work I put into myself. And then I was actually going to the gym for like 3 weeks before I joined G2, and I wish I could go back and just keep doing that instead of stopping again. I think that's very good for like not only your body but your mental health as well. So yeah,
very true. Devil, next one's you.
Jeff is cool. What was the main
Wait,
challenges?
This is the guy who DM'd me, by the way.
Is it?
Oh, is it? Yay! There we go.
What was the main challenges taking on the Astralis roster as a last minute in game leader?
Oh, it's just the time. Like the limit of time to talk about like all these like small situations, how to react, how to deal with certain plays and the pressure and like in game in terms of like pressure with like nades and stuff. Yeah, it's just a lack of time, and I would have liked to have like at least like 20 to 30 more pracs on train to know how to like play my own spot. And
you're playing pop?
I was playing Ivy.
Okay,
that's my position. That's easy. Even I can play that position, Hooksy. God, I'm playing on face. You can do that.
Well, the thing is, they were playing so weirdly before, where it was like almost Device playing Ivy before. And a lot of teams are doing this right now, where their AWP is basically the Ivy player for like half the time. And
shouldn't it be like more con and floating A?
Yeah, that's what it was in the old train, at least, and that's how I like expected it to be. But apparently, that's just not the meta right now. But would have liked a bit more reps and in general, like talk about, you know, getting to a point where you can talk about like X and X situations and after plans and retakes and all this. We never got to that. We just had to do everything on the fly.
And on face it, you're not getting many games on train because it's always being banned so quickly, right?
Well, also the train games you get has nothing to do with how you play this.
Just saying, a bit more experience.
I don't think Ivy exists in face it. Like, nobody goes down there anyway. So, yeah.
It's a hellhole. This is a beautiful question. From Lancer says, be honest, and you must be honest here, Hooksy. Have you ever told Nico to shut up during a match? We know Nico is a very vocal and experienced player. During matches, how do you balance his input with your role as IGL when your ideas clash? How do you make sure communication stays effective and doesn't turn into conflict, especially in high pressure moments? This guy's cooking.
Yeah, that is a good question. First of all, I think I've never played, like, I think I've said shut up to everyone I've ever played with. At some point.
Hell yeah. Even Nico. That's good.
Yeah. That's just how it works. Like, people are yapping and I need to yap more. That's how it works. And
professional yapper.
Yep. And in terms of like making things work and who has the last say and stuff like that, I think like I'm the IGL, and on T side especially, like, I have the last say. And on CT side, I can, like, I don't know, I can give him space to, because I really believe in like how he thought about CS. As I said, like, obviously, if I'm saying that this guy understands CS on a different level than everyone else, I believe a lot in him. And I think that that was never like a problem or something I ever put too much thought into, honestly. I don't know what else to say to that question, honestly.
That is good. Devil, answer the next one. Ask the next one, even.
Is it on CJ.CS?
I'm glad you're keeping... Yes, this. Well done. You are tracking correctly.
Okay. So it's jumping up and down sometimes from Bank's mouse here. CJ.CS says, when joining a team that is in turmoil, how do you go about establishing your rapport as a leader? When the rapport is damaged, how do you go about fixing it and your own dynamic within the team? Example, winning Katowice after missing the Rio Major.
That's not so much about me. That's more about the team in a way, because like there is a point of no return for at some point. Like, it's kind of like the same as when you say the coach is like losing the dressing room in football, right? Like, if the players just lost belief in you, there's you might as well just fuck off. Like, there's nothing to do for you here, because like that you have to have that. What I do, like, I don't think it's that big of a problem for me ever, because I listen so much to people already. So if they don't like how we play, it's kind of their own fault to an extent. Mm-hmm. And I just like to, you know, get all the ingredients from the players and then make a meal out of it, in a way. I'm also the kind of guy who really likes to openly say to people, like, if you have anything you want to tell me, like feedback, or if you have a problem with me or something, please, like, just come to me and say it, even though if you think it's awkward or something, like, because I cannot read your mind. And if it's a problem for you and I can fix it, please at least let me try. And I think that didn't happen in G2 in the end, and that's why I got kicked, basically.
Yeah. Do you think some players are very like it's hard for a lot of players to always do that?
I think 9 out of 10 players don't do it. And maybe
there's like these honest conversations, right?
Yeah, that you really have to force people to do this because it's uncomfortable. I get it why you don't want to do it. It's way easier to just keep it to yourself, and then when you get to a point where you just can't take it anymore, then you make a change or something, or like it boils out of control. But I don't know. I think it's unhealthy for a team to do it that way. So I always try to encourage people to be straight up with each other. But it's not always you get what you want.
No, definitely not. This one, you can just tell me if you don't remember it, because he says, I saw you pulled the Furia fake plant play in the grand final on Nuke. Absolutely love that. This is from Terry.
What?
Two questions related
to when you went in their bomb sites.
But how the hell are you giving credit to Furia for that? I cooked it up the same day as the final.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he says, was it inspired by the Furia play, or did you come up with it?
No, it's crazy. I can't exactly remember how many hours I spent, but I went to bed at 3 a.m. the day before.
Mm.
I woke up.
Sounds like a Hooksy moment.
I woke up 1 hour before my alarm. I don't know why. The first thing that popped into my mind was, this is a good idea for a force buy.
You just sat up in bed.
Yes, literally. Right? But I've never tried it before. I don't know.
I'm calling this a Hooksy moment, by the way. This is being coined.
Yeah, but I don't know how it happened. It is literally what happened. I sent a message to my coach and I said, you have no clue what I just cooked up. And then I went and found the nades, and then,
Oh, God.
I'm so happy.
And then he says a follow-up to this is, what is your favorite weird strat that you've ever seen pulled off in a professional tournament?
What? How am I supposed to figure that out on the spot?
We can't skip it. You already answered one of his questions. Terry will be happy anyway.
Yeah, but I don't have a good answer either. I don't know.
Cool, like, so we'll skip that. Then we'll ask the next one.
From Town Kerr.
No. Bro, I'm highlighting for you. You're highlighting. How are you this useless?
I am. You two really need
from
some
trackball.
Better team play.
Yeah, we need to order. We need a coach, actually.
Yeah.
Helping out?
We don't have.
Okay. From trackball. Who do you think should be responsible for building the structure of the team? The coach or the captain? Also, could you work in a team where the structure is built by a coach and you should just follow his instructions?
I'll answer the second question first. No, never. Yeah. I could never do that. And I've always been bad at it. And that's also why I, instead of just taking whatever Kadian had with this lineup and doing that, I just tried to implement as much as I could of my own as well as I could, because I'm really bad at, like, it's not that the ideas or the strats that they're using are bad. It's just I don't understand it fully, like from the ground up. So I'm just not good at using it. And when it comes to like who should do the whole structure thing, coach or IGL, I think there's not a right or wrong answer. I think it depends on the personalities and how they work the best. I think that the most common thing is for the coach to give the IGL space on T side and then help focus more on CT. Yeah, I think there's, as I said, no right or wrong answer.
Thank you very much. Now, this is the one that Devil tried to read out, but I'll do it. Town Kerr, when you command, do you prefer to give a general direction and rely on your teammates to play in each position, or reduce the freedom of the team members and arrange a detailed plan like Alexi B? I think we kind of already know what you prefer in this, but I'll let you answer it.
Yeah, well, I'm leaning a bit more in the direction of Alexi now than I did before, but I'm definitely still more of a freedom kind of guy. But I think the nature of CS2 just, you know, invites a bit more structure in general, and that, you know, it's just strong to run and have trade potential instead of having a lot of lurks and putting pressure four places at the same time and stuff like this. So, yeah, definitely need some structure to keep a good base level, but you also need some X factor to have that extra gear to win tournaments.
Yeah. Next one, Devil Walk.
All right. From Sapple. What's the most difficult part of prepping for an entire tournament? We're improving here.
Damn, you nailed it. Sick. well, the prep before a tournament is pretty simple. You just focus on yourself. You focus on making your own team as good as possible in as many situations as possible. And I don't think there will ever be like a perfect preparation for anything. It's just literally impossible to have. And
yeah.
I mean, even if you have the perfect prep, sometimes you have the perfect plan, perfect execute, and you lose the round anyway.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the game as well. So
yeah,
and well, then prepping throughout a tournament, like a whole tournament, it's just you know, every day you get a new opponent and you just have to get back to prepping as fast as you can. And when you're done, you go to sleep and then you wake up and then you tell the prep to the rest. And then that's it. And you just pray to God that you get the early semifinal so you have more time to prep for the final.
Yeah. This one, you've answered part of it, but I'll ask the second part. It's from NVCJ. He says, hi, happy to see you back in the scene. Oh, isn't that nice?
Hello.
How did you feel in that period without a team? Obviously, we've already touched on that, but this part's interesting. He said, how did you not lose confidence in yourself? Most of the time when people are not employed for a long time, they're starting to give up or look for another type of job. So yeah, how did you keep that motivation going?
Well, to be fair, there was not much confidence to lose in the first place. It was more about building up confidence again. And I don't know, confidence is a weird thing. Mostly you get it from, you know, succeeding in something. But like one, I think, factor that you can control yourself is just to, like, I get confidence from being prepared and from knowing that I put a lot of hard work into something. Then I feel confident in my ability more than if I didn't, right? So yeah. That's like, in terms of motivation, I don't know, I haven't really tried to lose motivation yet too much. I've tried burnout a bit, but that's not really the same thing, because like when you then get a small break, you want to get back instantly, and that's like inner motivation, I would say. So yeah, that haven't really been a problem. It's of course been tough, you know, sometimes when you don't really have, you know, it's been really easy up leading up to Astana now, because I had something to play for, like something to work towards. But you know, after not getting the Astralis offer when they chose Cadian instead, it was a bit hard to like the next 3 months just grind, you know, without knowing what comes next. But you just sometimes you just have to do it without thinking too much about
it. Should we do a few more and then let Hooksy breathe?
Hooks, you good for a couple more?
Yeah, just go.
Okay. From Lancer, looking back at your career and personal life, what is something you wish your younger self had known?
Oh, that's a deep one. I think I've learned the most in the past like year, from just reflecting on my time in G2. So it's not like I want to go back and tell like myself as like 14 year old like what should you do differently, but I don't know, I don't live with too many regrets, because I think it's all like, it's easy to sit here after and say like this would have been right or wrong, but like I always do what I think is right in the moment. So there's not really much I would change, but I'm happy that I learned what I've learned so far, and that I think I'm finding a better balance. Like that's the only thing that I feel like I would have liked to know before, that it's a bit more about balance than just like always full grind tiers.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, Devil, there's just four more in total that I'm going to take. So I'm doing this one here. You can see it. This is a nice one. If you had a choice to choose a team to IGL in the tier one scene, which team would it be and why? So you'd replace whoever's in there.
Vitality.
so you could not frag out again. I would not need to shoot if we're gonna go back to that interview question.
Actually, I don't even know if I would take Vitality. Maybe I would just take Falcons, because like I fit better into the team in terms of roles, but I think Vitality would be,
Monacy would have you back, definitely. He'd be like, yeah, bring Hooksy back.
But I think it's like it's tough to not pick Vitality, right? Because they're just
They're so
smashing
good.
Everyone
compared to rest. Yeah. Compared to the rest, they're just.
But I'm not taking any responsibility for the streak. Like I don't know how people let this happen. I've been out the whole time. It cannot be my fault. So just wait until I come back, Vitality. It's over for your streak.
It's on. Hooksy's back. Streak is over.
Yep.
Trophy run is done. Look down here. No. Look down here. Go further down on our little document.
Here.
You see, I've highlighted the big part.
Yeah. How do I even say that name?
Change it.
And according to Swanee, on HLTV confirmed, I had to give it a try.
You're just good.
During his time on G2, he said that they had no analysis staff and assistant coach. Mm-hmm. Do you think with the correct staff, you would have achieved more?
It would probably have made it easier in terms of like workload, but at the same time, I don't think that I'm that good at just like, as I said, like delegating things and work that could be my own. So and especially at that time, I was even worse at it. So I don't know if it would have helped too much for me, but I think if I had Glaive as a assistant, maybe he would have, helped me out here and there. But if we just take someone random in from the streets to do some easy work, I think I would rather just do it myself, because I just like it that way.
Yeah.
Should I take this one?
I'm going to take the last one. You can't tell him yet, but I'm going to take the last one. So you do
All right. From Shadow Honta. Is there an ex-teammate...
You said that's so Swedish. Honta.
Okay. But is there an ex-teammate that you would love to reunite in the server again?
That does a lot. If the question is like, if I had to pick one guy to build a new team with kind of way, then it would be Nico 100%.
Okay. What about someone you just like to reunite with for the good times, a good vibe like that?
Oh, that's a bunch. I think I would just, I don't know, I would take the old Astralis lineup and put Farley as a coach or something. That would be sick.
Nice.
Farley is a funny guy.
Yeah. No, but there's so many. Awesome. I cannot name all of them. But I think there's so many good people. It's just, it's hard to pick one.
So this is the last question. It's in full Danish, so I'm going to read it. It's only in Danish. And I'm sorry to all the other people who sent in questions. We do appreciate all the questions, but we have kept Hooksy for 4 hours, 30 minutes at this point, and it's getting insane. So this guy's name is Hajalti Laker Biskin. Is that close enough, Devilwalk?
Why are you asking me?
It's close enough to your language.
No.
And your Swedish and Danish is basically
I could barely pronounce it. With me. Hjalte Laker Biskin.
There you go. Look at his face. All right, Hooksy, be ready for this.
Yep.
It says, hey, Mr. GigaChad, Hooksy Booksy. Harbour?
Yep.
Harbour, det okay? Jeg tager den på dansk. Danish,
yep.
I guess.
Yeah.
Jeg ville bare spørge.
Yeah.
Du kommer til at blive ved med at spille for Astralis. Do you have any idea what I said?
I think he understood.
He said that he hopes it's okay that he takes this question in Danish. And
I have no choice.
And something about playing for Astralis. I'm not quite sure what's in the middle, but.
Well, yeah,
I think it was like, Jeg ville bara.
Oh, Google
like Spurge? I don't know.
Yeah, that's Spurge? Asking. Yeah. He just wants to ask.
Okay, so
if you will become to play with us.
Oh, if I'll become an Astralis player, basically.
So we've already spoken about this. So
yeah.
I asked it in Danish. There's the meme. We already know the answer.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait.
Why is this cool? This is quite good. I mean, like, I didn't expect to understand any of it.
Thank you. I didn't get memed. This is great. There's
but I will say, like, if there's hope for you to learn Danish, then there's hope for me to learn Russian. So
see?
I can like
or Chinese.
I can join
Chinese. Don't forget the Chinese.
I can join the Falcons super team at some point.
So here we go. Let's just end this with the Falcons genius Russian speaking super team. Hooksy.
Yep.
Manasi.
Yep.
Kosuki. Bit.
Yep.
And who was the other one?
It's Nico. He's taking classes.
Oh yeah, Nico's also learning.
Yeah.
Nico's also learning.
So we'll just title this episode "Hooksy to Falcons?" Question.
Yeah, and then we put Blader's coach, of course. We have to
Blader's coach. Yeah, there you go. It's actually that you would never lose anything ever, but you might have to adjust your emotional stability for that
system
much tilt.
Play.
Yeah, you'd have to and system play exactly as he likes.
Yep.
Calling by numbers, Hooksy.
I think if there's one guy I would give it a shot with, it would be Blade. And that guy makes it work somehow every time.
Even with players that people didn't think was make it possible, you know?
Yeah. True respect.
Well, this is the historically long episode ever of All About Counter-Strike. It is all about Hooksy and so much more. I hope you have all enjoyed it. It's a pleasure to have you here with us, Hooksy. Thank you so much for all your time. I'm going to post a video that my wife filmed when we first met each other because she filmed from behind the scenes, and that's going to go at the end of this video so everyone can see that little moment because I was so happy to see him back. And I wish you the best of luck going forward in the future. Then I have to interview you more and you will be having to suffer more questions.
Yep.
But luckily, media day is limited by a time limit, so I can't keep you forever.
But yeah, you can always say reference back to this podcast episode.
Yep.
Yeah, just do that. Yep. Actually, we discussed it on All About Hooksy.
Yep. All right.
Been
a pleasure to have you. I would be very surprised to not see you in the top tier echelons of Counter-Strike in the very near future. Yep. I think you've done a great job, and I'll be cheering you on for sure.
Well,
definitely.
I hope you won't get surprised then.
We've got your back. It's going to happen. We'll see him back on a tier 1 team soon. Mark my words.
All right.
See you on the next episode.